now, this is going to be a lot of fun. The book is now taking the field, baseball's all-time dream teams for all 30 franchises. Now, it's 600 pages. It's one of those books you could pick it up at any page and start reading, and you'll love it. The author is Tom Stone, and he's written on a variety of baseball topics at seamheads.com. At an early age, Tom started to develop a keen interest in baseball's rich history and stats, including how to compare players across time. This book, Taking the Field, does that because it compares a player for your franchise from 1905 to someone who played yesterday. And Tom has come up with amazing stats, amazing dream teams in all sorts of areas. I love the book. It's really terrific. And we welcome Tom to the show. Tom Stone, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, the book is so much fun. Tell the listeners, I mean, I gave a sort of a synopsis of it, but it took years for you to put it together, but the research is amazing, and the fun of reading it is it's right in front of you.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Yeah, it did take off and on writing it over a 20-year period, so a lot of time went into it. Like you say, it's 600 pages. A lot of people are treating it sort of like a coffee table book. You can pick it up and put it down. Start with your favorite team, of course. Read that chapter probably right away, but then dive into some other teams over time.
Let's talk about the Giants. It's yep. Chapter 2, page 49. And let's talk about some of the things you came up with the Giants and see if we agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, the reason they're Chapter 2, I started with the 16 longstanding teams, and I did them in order of all-time wins-loss record. So, of course, that means Yankees are number one, but Giants are right there at number two.
Ah, very good. Okay, tell us about the dream team of the Giants.
Yeah, so definitely loaded at certain positions, starting right around the infield, first base, lots of great players to consider there, hard to only choose two. That's one of the things I did for this book was not just choose a starting lineup and a couple of pitchers, but I chose a full 30-man roster. So that allowed me a starter and a backup and even some additional extra guys on the bench and a full 12-man pitching staff. I did weigh more starters than relievers for each team, varied the exact numbers. But the Giants start off strong at first base. Willie McCovey, Bill Terry, two great Hall of Famers there. I was able to include Roger Connor, who was an old-timer from the 1800s, and even Will Clark, who I heard you mentioning before I got on the call. He's on this 30-man roster as well.
So, all right, so on first base, of the first baseman, you got Willie Mack, the great Bill Terry, his number's retired, Roger Connor, and Will, all on the 30-man?
Yeah, all on the team. Others might prefer not to carry so many first basemen, and that's totally understandable. But it was hard for me to not have Roger Connor and Will Clark included, so I got them included there, which means a bit less depth at some of the other positions.
What happened to Cepeda?
Well, Cepeda split his time between first base and outfield, so I get him in there as a backup outfielder, and actually in the starting lineups, I think I slotted him at DH. That's one of the things I do, even for the National League teams. I know purists might not like it, but if you have such rich bench on a 30-man all-time dream team, it would be hard to stomach even having a relatively good hitting pitcher like Madison Bumgarner. Why have them bat when you can have someone like Cepeda?
Okay, now I'm with you. Orlando, one of our favorites. Second base. Now, I'm thinking second baseman, even in the era, San Francisco era, not tremendous second baseman. Jeff Kent maybe jumps out at me more than anybody. How do you have second base lined up?
Yeah, second base had the fewest players that really deserved to be even considered. I did go with Jeff Kent as a starter, even though he only played some of his time for the Giants. But when he did, they were such good seasons. And then Larry Doyle, who was an early player in the dead ball era, played for the franchise for 13 years. So he makes it as the backup. Frankie Frisch, of course, played for the Giants and split his time between second and third. So I get him on the roster over at third base. The only other guy that I even looked at was Robbie Thompson, who we all remember from the 80s and early 90s, but didn't do quite enough to make the roster.
All right. Frankie Frisch traded for the great Rogers Hornsby. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And became a St. Louis Cardinal. The owner of the Cardinals didn't like Hornsby anymore. They got into a big fight. He was a big champion. He won the World Series, and next thing you knew, he was a Giant, and Frisch was a Cardinal. Went on to big fame there. All right. How about third base? Do we get Frankie Frisch in there third?
Yeah, I chose him as the starter at third, although you could certainly make a case for Matt Williams. But either way, you've got two great players there at third base. I looked at a lot of others, Jim Rayhart, Art Devlin, Hank Thompson, Darrell Evans even. But really, those two, Frisch and Williams, were the only two that I thought needed to make it.
No, that's I could go with that. All right, let's go to the shortstop. Hey, we have a good one right now, Brandon Crawford. Where does he fit in?
Yeah, I definitely looked at Crawford. His numbers, one of the things I did in this book is, you know, I started with wins above replacement, one of those sabermetric stats that really help you to compare players over eras. And then I looked at traditional stats as well, how have they done in the postseason, and then how many times were they an all-star, how many times, you know, how they do in MVP balloting and things like that. So that just gives you a little background on sort of my selection process. For Crawford, he's been with the team now. This is his ninth season. Hasn't done quite enough yet to make it on there because you've got a couple of Hall of Famers and George Davis and Travis Jackson, old timers, but really great players that needed to make the roster. But yeah, if Crawford stays there long enough, he could certainly be in the conversation.
All right, now catcher, I would imagine Posey's got to be in there.
Yeah, Posey at this point has done enough to be the starter. The tough decision, and this is where you could maybe jettison Will Clark or Roger Connor if you want to go with a third catcher. The tough decision is backup catcher. So Posey's the starter. Then you've got old-timers Buck Ewing and Roger Bresnahan. It's tough to choose between them. I went with Ewing, but you could certainly make a case for Bresnahan as well.
Well, you need Bresnahan because he invented the shin guards.
Yeah, that's right. That's right? One of those famous baseball trivia questions.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you need him. You can't have him catch without shin guards. All right. Yeah. The outfield should be relatively easy, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I mean, probably Cepeda could be out there. Bonds is obviously going to be out there. And Willie Mays, who else do you have out there?
Yeah, so Cepeda makes it, but only as a backup, unless you want to discount some of Bonds' numbers. But I go with Bonds in left field as a starter, Willie Mays clearly the starter in center field, and then another great in right field, Mel Ott. Played 22 years, a great slugger for the Giants as well. So great starting outfield. I mean, Ott, Mays, and Bonds, that almost, I would say, rivals Ruth, DiMaggio, Mantle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, great, great outfield for the
Giants. I think it does. I really do. I think it does when you look at it. All right, starting pitching. And Tom Stone is with us. I enjoy chatting with you. That's what the book is all about. Now taking the field, baseball's all-time dream teams for all 30 franchises. Now, the Giants have had tremendous pitching over their history. You go back to Christy Mathewson. You could go to Carl Hubbell. You could go to Marichal. You could go to the great pitchers, Bumgarner. What do you do for a starting staff?
Yeah, the Giants actually, not only do they have all those great hitters we just went through, but they have actually stronger starting pitching historically than the Yankees or various other longstanding teams. The three you mentioned were at the top, Mathewson, and then it was really close between Hubbell and Marichal. You could just roll a dice and have one be two and one be three. Then there's a little bit of a drop-off, but still some great Hall of Famers. Joe McGinnity, an old-timer, Gaylord Perry, and then other greats like Johnny Antonelli. I included Madison Bumgarner as the seventh on the list. And then I actually went with three really old-timers. I generally, for this book, didn't include too many pitchers from the 1800s because they pitched, you know, 500 innings and crazy number of starts. But in the case of the Giants, they actually had three that stayed with the franchise for a really long time and I thought were deserving. All of them Hall of Famers, Amos Arruzzi, Mickey Welch, and Tim Keefe. So those guys round out the starting pitchers. If you prefer to discount those guys and go with some more modern guys, then of course you could go with the likes of Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, Jason Schmidt, you know, people that we're more familiar with, Sal Magley. So there's lots of other great pitchers, as you mentioned. Giants really had a couple of dozen to really look at.
Boy, what fun. What fun. You do this. I can't believe you did this for every franchise. This is incredible.
Yeah, it really was a lot of fun. It was something that, you know, I was born in 1973, growing up in the 80s. Some kids on my block, we would play Catico Disc League Baseball or Strat, Micro League on my old Atari, and we would think about these things like who would be the all-time best overall, who would be the all-time best for each franchise. So it's something that I've been thinking about since I was a youngster in the 80s and finally got started on the book about 20 years ago. And yeah, it was a lot of fun and a lot of fun to talk about.
Well, Catico is all-star baseball, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the one with the little spinner discs.
That's
that was
correct. I played that. I had a million of them. And, yep, if Babe Ruth, if you hit it on the one, Babe Ruth had the biggest one on the little spinner disc. And
that's right.
That would be the home run. And Eddie Collins had a very minuscule Very.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, it's funny what I remember, isn't it? But look, the book is a lot of fun. Where does somebody get it, Tom? What's the easiest way?
Yeah, so I've got a website for the book, nowtakingthefield.com, and from there you can get quick access to all the normal places. The book is carried at Barnes & Noble stores around the country, so that's convenient. Of course, it's at Amazon as well, and the publisher is Acta Sports. They also put out the Bill James handbook each year, so if you want to get it direct from the publisher, you could pick up the Bill James book as well.
Very good. Is it doing well?
Yeah, it is doing well. I actually, I've done a lot of radio interviews like this one, which I always enjoy. And my publicist actually got me on to MLB Now on February 21st. I was on the MLB Network in person on TV for a whole hour, sitting next to Girardi and the other guys. And so that was a lot of fun. And the book sold out temporarily at Amazon the next day. So, yeah, it's doing pretty well.
Did Brian Kenny work you over?
He wasn't there that day, so
it was
Scott Braun hosting. Yeah, I know, exactly. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Kenny one of these days. Yeah.
All right, great to have you on, Tom. I appreciate it, and we have our local bookstore up here, the Book Tree in Montclair in Oakland, and I'm sure David will carry the book there. So nice to have you on. Congratulations. It's a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot. Great talking to you. Thank you.
All right, that's Tom Stone. More coming up.